All right, before the podcast starts, I want to let you know at the end, the last 20 or so minutes is really a wild interview with none other than Bo Duke. John Schneider joined us in the studio. He's got some new music out. Yes, John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard, new music. He had like 5 number ones back in the day. We'll talk about all that and much, much more at the end of this week's podcast. I had to do that. I did.
Of course you did.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Bubba Podcast.
You know, I just don't even enjoy the podcast theme as much anymore because we're always singing over it. I think one day we ought to just not sing over it and just let it air in all of its beauty again.
I mean, if you want to be that guy.
I think you should pull up the alternate version, the sad one.
Okay.
I don't like the sad one, and you didn't used to either.
I don't remember it, so maybe I don't like it, but...
Here we go. This is, if we ever have
we're like, some days there's going to be a national tragedy, like a 9/11.
And so we have to have a podcast that day or that week.
Yeah, so we want to come, hey, it's my guest, so we had an alternate one done. Here we go.
Big D and Bubba have a show 5 days a week. They don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. And that's how we get podcasts. The podcast.
It's pretty great.
Podcast. How we get the podcast.
It's so bad.
I like it.
I can say it's bad because I'm the one doing it, so it's bad.
I like it. By the way, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Do it like there's a tragedy and we just came out of the set. Okay, do it.
Okay, hold on here. Let me start this over and I'll get to the end. Scooting forward and... Oh, I missed it.
All right, here we go.
tough day.
It's a very tough day. And
I know
first, before we dive into everything that we've got to cover and discuss and disseminate here, I do want to let you know that the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs, even the sad ones. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
So everyone's asking, what do we do now?
It's one of those.
Where do we go now?
This is how we deal with it, people. Okay.
Well, actually, that is how you deal. Yes. That's funny. That's one thing I've learned as a first responder. I knew that was coming. I always like to beat you. I like to beat you to the punch now. As a first responder, that is one of the things. Humor heals, and I know that's crazy. People,
how did you not already know that? What do you mean you had to go?
No, but I mean,
we already know that.
What do you new?
But no, I'm just. I remember.
What have you been doing for the last 20 years?
I remember there was a boss who told us, about 10 years ago, this guy said, he goes, look, the problem is you guys concentrate on being too funny on the radio.
Comedy!
But he didn't understand. He said, what you got to do is get this emotion. You got to get emotion out of people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, humor is an emotion. Laughter is not an emotion.
Laughter
is
an emotion.
Dude,
you're
it's one
idiot.
Of the best emotions. It's
possibly the dumbest person I've ever worked for in this business.
Yeah, he was bad. By the way, you're
he's still
for...
there, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's still there.
Are y'all ready for this week's gold?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well. Oh, we have a brand new gold, everyone. Okay. Going to debut it right now.
And she said, this is what you get. And she's a good sized lady. I said, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah. Good sized lady is the best thing I've heard all week.
Yeah, we had a guy on the show. He was a caller, and he was talking about how he fell in love with this lady. And
she said, this is what you get. And she's a good sized lady.
And she said, this is what you get. She's a good sized lady. I said, okay.
All right.
I love how he's just like, okay.
I want to write a song called Good Sized Lady. I am going to write that.
Listen, like, what is really good sized?
I want to talk to her because I need that woman. Like, if she married a guy that calls her that, she's better than me.
Yeah,
she's way better than me.
She She went to him and said, "This is what you get."
Listen to every piece of this.
All right. Oh wait, hold on.
And she said, "This is what you get." And she, it's a good sized lady. I said, "Okay."
Are we not getting sound on the Facebook?
Apparently not.
Oh well.
I don't know. I think we. I just plugged it back in. I don't know. We'll see.
So great.
Anyway.
She's a good sized lady.
She's a good sized lady.
Yeah. By the end of the podcast, Patrick will debut his song.
I'm not doing it today.
She's a good
I want to write a real song. I'm going to get together with some friends of mine that are songwriters. We're going to write a song called Good Size Woman.
Yep.
Lady. He says lady.
I know, but lady doesn't, it's harder to, I don't know. We'll see.
I kind of feel bad for the Facebook people that aren't being able to hear us yet.
Oh, well.
That's kind of a bummer. That is a bummer. Can I, I'm going to do a little reset on Facebook and then... And then we'll dive back in.
Okay. So we're just going to keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this weekend, Patrick, this is probably the better weeks of football for us.
It's going to be a good one.
For college football, two really.
Nobody's talking about Ole Miss versus Cal, which is like 11 a.m., which
And they're ranked and we're not. So.
But seriously, but Cal might be a little overrated. And Ole Miss, I know they suck.
You say
but,
we. As though we are part of your thing.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, we're not part of your thing.
Yeah.
As somebody who graduated from Ole Miss, I can call it a we.
Yeah, whatever. That was hateful. That was our way of pointing out that we don't have college degrees.
Did you go on a scholarship?
I did, yeah.
Academic?
Academic and music. They threw money at somebody who was from Connecticut wanting to go to Ole Miss.
Seriously, they were so happy to be like, what? From above the Mason-Dixon line? Yes, please come here.
Yeah. So in Connecticut, had you even heard of Ole Miss?
No. I was looking for colleges that were in smaller towns. Kind of. I mean, it sounds weird to say, but honestly, kind of like Animal House. I wanted like a self-contained college with, I wanted the Greek system and fraternities and stuff. And I wanted someplace in the South because I had gotten super into country music and I wanted to go to the South and I wanted to get away from everybody that I'd been with since I was 2 years old.
James Vanderbeek.
Right. Absolutely. And so I just started looking for colleges that kind of met that criteria and that had marching bands because that's where I was going
to
get my money.
I need to point something out. Okay. Carson wasn't here last Friday for the podcast because it was her birthday. And I think Carson knows... She knew when planning to take the day off for her birthday that the day after her birthday, September the 14th, is James Vanderbeek Day. So not only was she not here on Friday, but that would have been our observance, our James Vanderbeek Day observance because it fell on a Saturday.
That's very, very shrewd of you to be
What's
aware of all that.
Well, you know, I'd like to say that I didn't plan it, but yeah.
You played it, didn't you?
It did all work out that I had to travel to go to a concert. But let's be honest, I was going to do everything I could to avoid James Vanderbeek Day, which Dee so kindly reminded me of on Twitter.
Yes. James Vanderbeek Day is a real holiday among the three of us, at least.
Yeah,
and
not for
we're
me.
We're going to celebrate it every year. So you got away with it this year. Next year, there's going to be a cake. I'm just saying.
There needs to be a cake. It could be all forehead.
I will celebrate JVDB Day. If there is a cake involved.
If there's a cake.
Okay, so back to Ole Miss. So were you in the band?
Yeah, for 2 years.
In the marching band?
In the marching band.
At the games and all
that? What do you play?
Flute and drums.
Do you still have your flute?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Dude, you should come
Why
in.
Why have you not come in and play?
How is that not a thing?
I could do that, yeah.
There needs to be flute solos.
Do you want me to bring in my drumsticks? I don't have a drum kit at my house.
Just
so.
A flute.
Okay. Yeah, I can
do
that.
I have a drum kit I can bring in.
Okay. I'm sure you can play the fight song and all that. No one will care.
Yeah. I can play Dixie.
What about like the halftime music that they would like pick music from the 70s?
Yeah. Oh my God. Tower of Power. We did like a Tower of Power medley. And I'm going, who is Tower of Power?
What is that?
Is it a band?
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Oh. Earth, Wind, and Fire's music, right?
How does that go?
That's a great question. I don't actually know. Tower of Power is a band that music geeks like. I remember one of my drum instructors in high school who looked like this leftover hippie was this big T.O.P. fan. And he would talk about T.O.P. And I'm like, what is this dude smoking? And it was Tower of Power.
I'm a music nerd and I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Great horns. That's what they are, man. Just great horns.
Which is why I guess you picked them for marching
band. Now, for your halftime enjoyment, the Ole Miss Rebel Marching Band will
play... The Pride of the South!
Pride of the South.
With a selection of tunes from Tower of Power! And then the next year, it was featuring 70s disco classics.
Oh, you got to come in and play and find the sheet music from the 70s disco classics.
Or we could just get it. We'll get it off the internet. Can you still read sheet music?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a thing. We're going to get sheet music from country songs and have Carson play them on the flute.
And we have to guess what
they are. Oh, I can do that. Yeah.
How is that not a weekly segment on the show?
Like, you guys made me sing. Okay. Right on the air last week, and that was mortifying. But yes. I can actually play a flute,
I'm so happy right now.
Track it back. Is it plugged in over there?
Is it in?
It's all plugged in. Is the pot up?
Yes.
I don't know.
No. Did you hit power?
It could be on Facebook.
Did you blow on it?
It's usually Facebook.
Yeah, it's
for the record.
Yeah, it's not us. I mean, everything is in there. Yeah. Is this also? But you know what? I did do the new Apple update today.
That's it.
See, I told you that was messed up. I told you not to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I got it now. Okay. We're having people clap at us.
He blew on it like an old Nintendo cartridge.
I blew on it. I blew on it. I went like you do on a Nintendo, and now apparently it's working. So hey,
my son, if ever your electronic equipment isn't working, remember the adage of old: blow on it. That's it. That's the only thing I know how to do if something's not working is go.
Yeah, that's it.
Nothing.
But you know what? When we were kids, it was magic. I think it's either Facebook or it's new iPhone stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so blown away that you play the flute. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and actually, this is terrible, but I quit band after my sophomore year because they were dorks. And I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, look, I know I'm a dork, but I was a cooler dork than they were.
Oh.
And I couldn't deal with them anymore.
Yeah, I was always in drama.
Mm-hmm.
I played ball and did drama. I had two completely
different worlds.
I didn't have a lot of friends in the drama. And they didn't really care for me.
Yeah, it's
Were you an outsider because you were also a jock?
Yes.
Yeah, because I was in the marching band in high school, and I was also cheerleading captain.
It was the same thing, you know,
it was two such separate worlds. Mm-hmm.
At that age, they really compartment. Everyone gets cliquey, mm-hmm. and you had to be one or the other. You couldn't be both. And I did it for a long time, and all the way through. But yeah, I had some weird drama friends, man.
Nothing but drama.
They were weird. Just bizarre, all black, like just funky.
They were goth kids before they were goth kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trench coats, the whole.
Yeah.
Big beards.
It was
gigantic beard. I was like, what? I'm over. How do you? Is that real? Yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Took 2 years. Right here. It's 2 years from my guilty.
It was gross, but you know what?
It's there, and you don't ever want to shave it again because
I can't. It's forever. Uh-huh.
But you know what? It's good because Big D has that, and then one mm-hmm. day he's going to shave it off, and he'll look 15 years younger. So when you get to that point where you need it, it's something you have in your in your arsenal.
I did see. I saw a gray hair yesterday, right there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to be painting again.
I told you I got the.
Dude, I'll never forget me putting on Just for Men and I slathered it on. Just put it on, and I was like, because it wasn't even the right color. It's like a, I don't know, it was like orangish or whatever.
It's kind of light at first.
Yeah, and I'm like, this isn't doing it. And so I'd put more on. I'm like, this is stupid.
Moron.
This is not, whatever.
It's like self-tanner. Chicks, if you've ever used self-tanner, you're like, this isn't working because you don't see a difference. You keep applying it the next day, you are orange. It's awful.
You're a Nimble Loompa. Yeah, I was sitting there on the couch, and I touched my chin or something, and I was like, what? And it was black.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my. And then it all hit me. It all hit at once. Oh, my gosh. This thing's been curing on my face for the last 45 minutes. So I went in there and I ruined a towel and all that.
Right? My brother got so mad at me last week, and I stayed at his house because I was, it was like my family just converged for my birthday where he lives because it's kind of central.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up one morning, and I guess he went in to make the bed or something, and he goes, you got makeup all over my pillow. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot to take it off last night. He was like, are you kidding me? How much are you wearing? Because like, I guess I'd left like a face print.
I saw some video where
you were like the what was it, the Shroud of Turin?
Yeah.
but like with makeup.
Yes.
I'm like, you're lucky I didn't wash my hair, because your bathroom would have looked like a crime scene because the red bleeds.
That's so great.
It's I was like, well, you know.
Yeah, I saw a video, a picture this week of somebody had makeup on, and they like just fell right onto the sheet, like a darker sheets, and came up, and it had this weird looking misshaped face. You know, like, it was funny. Shroud of Turin, nice reference.
That was a great reference, yes.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for.
Shroud of Turin. Yeah, that's a, for those who don't know,
that's the Jesus cloth.
Yeah, that they...
It's in Turin, Italy, and that's why they call it the Shroud of Turin. It was supposed to be the actual burial cloth from Christ. And, you know, that's the thing. The Italians, actually the Europeans, have been hoarding all of the good artifacts. Like, they really have. They've got pieces of the crown of thorns. They've got pieces of the cross.
Does that come from Hitler and the Germans?
I don't know. But apparently that was, like, one of the things that they were doing was the Germans were hoarding things like that, because they figured if they could control those things, then they could control the people that held them, in a high regard.
Yeah.
So, and that also was something they were doing too. They were trying to see what things had magical powers. Like Hitler was crazy. Oh, the 40th Homer? Yeah, it was nice. But yeah,
I'll watch all those things on the History Channel about Hitler and the occult.
Yep.
And mysticism and all that. Yeah, he was.
UFOs?
Yeah, he.
Alien technology.
Although that has now been confirmed that UFOs are legit. It is on. You know, this past week, the United States Navy said, yes, the videos that have been floating around for several years now of the naval carrier group dealing with this Tic Tac UFO.
Thanks to the guy from Blink 182.
Yeah. Really?
I know. Is it Tom?
The other guy, there's a guy who left. He was like at the DIA, which is like the CIA, but for the Defense Department. And he had been running the Blue Book replacement program, I guess you'd call it. And the two of them came out. And that was it. They said, yeah, we're going to expose this because it's crazy. Time people knew. And I thought it was interesting because there was a show that they had done together. I don't know if you watched it. It was like Exposed or something. I forget what it was called. But literally at the very end of the show, they asked the guy, they said, do you think that the general population can handle the truth? And he just kind of smirked and stood up and walked away.
Oh.
Like how much truth is out there? I love all that stuff, man.
That is that Tic Tac incident is really fascinating of how much footage they got
on the Tic Tac.
Yeah, the footage that you're seeing, excuse me, the footage that that was released, if you know what we're talking about, you can Google Tic Tac
Navy UFOs. That'll get you everything.
It was with the Nimitz, USS Nimitz. But it was out in the ocean on routine patrols or whatever. They get this thing on radar, and it's at 80,000 feet. They dispatched F-18 Hornets to go look at it. I think there was a flight of two Hornets, maybe three. And they get out to this thing, and they can see it on their radar that's on board of the airplanes. And they're getting closer and closer and closer. This thing's sitting, again, at 80,000 feet. And as they approach it, it goes from 80,000 feet to the surface of the ocean in less than a second, a fraction of a second.
Which our stuff can't do that.
No.
Blink and it's already down. It went from 80,000
because that's
down.
Faster than gravity.
Yes. So and then the planes get up to this, it looks like a Tic Tac. This one, like a giant Tic Tac. And it's about, they said it was pretty large. Like it was like the size of fuselage of the airplanes or larger.
Yeah.
And they got up to it where they get the radar return, and they're circling around the ocean, the part. And they said that there was something underneath the surface of the water, and it was disturbed, like it was bubbling, like there was the way in my head I see it is like a school of fish, how they have that thing, you know, they kind of makes the water pop or whatever. And they see it, right, it's doing that, and then it comes out And there's a larger thing underneath the ground. The Tic Tac comes underneath the water. And the Tic Tac comes out and it takes off. So they chase it, and they chase it for a long time. But the videos that were released are not the high quality videos.
The FLIR, the infrared videos.
They're real
grainy.
Yeah, and they I watched it's embarrassing. I watched 2 hours of an interview with the pilot, the captain, the guy who's the head of the pilot. So they follow this thing, and they get all the footage, the video. And then it eventually. It starts moving all around the sky and then gone. They get back
to
the.
Have you not seen it?
Mm-mm.
No, they get back to the.
I was just reading
ship.
About it on Reddit.
So they run. They go back to the ship, and they have all these tapes. Everything's recorded, and they go into these banks where they are downloaded and saved to a server. And they, he was told to take that one and give it to someone else who he didn't know who it was. He was pretty high up. I think he was one of five in the leadership on that on the Nimitz. So
right.
He goes, I knew everyone. He goes, I'm in the leadership role. And he goes, these were guys I didn't know. And
but they were there.
They yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, they were there.
How do you know? How do you not know these people who were there?
So anyway, they took it, but it got leaked somehow. And if you ask me, I believe that we're in a very slow and deliberate rollout of UFOs to the public.
I just showed Carson so she could see some of it.
I think they're trying to slowly get people accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. It's like at the same. It's a mental move. I mean, it's like if you see someone.
Yeah. You're comfortable.
Who makes
with
a big
this.
Change in their hair.
Right.
You're like, oh my gosh, you changed your hair. But if you do it gradually, mm-hmm. you never notice. Like losing mm-hmm. weight. And so it's the same thing with this. And so I think they're trying to do a slow roll, rollout. So the people are like, yeah, of course we have it. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like they're tempering eggs.
Yeah, yes.
They're getting us used to it.
That's eggs. Exactly what it is.
Pretty soon we'll be cooked.
What I found interesting, the most interesting thing about it is that there was not any kind of propulsion. This is the craziest thing about the whole Tic Tac. There was no propulsion system detectable. It didn't have propellers. It didn't have rotors. It didn't have jets. It didn't have anything. It was just moving really fast without giving off a distinct heat signature anywhere on the ship, the craft, or whatever it was. And it was moving at unprecedented speeds and doing crazy things like the rotating, like a gimbal and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that is things that just, it's impossible. We don't have that technology, and that's what this show was about, was them trying to decide, were these aliens or was this technology that another country had? And that's the biggest thing is if, let's say, Russia or China has this technology to do these things that are so far and beyond our capability here in America. I mean, we have been in the forefront of anything and everything aviation for decades. Mm-hmm. And we're, according to just a few years ago, Big D and I were privy to a great conversation. Mm-hmm. We're decades ahead of the other countries.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden this stuff comes out. And now all of a sudden we're in the Stone Age and whatever this is,
beats everything.
Yeah.
The conversation is whoever owns alien tech owns the world. Because once you get that, it's such an unfair advantage. It's like having a machine gun in the Civil War.
So this guy talks about how
that bad analogy.
Yeah, it's like having an aircraft carrier group in the middle of World War II at Pearl Harbor. You know, I mean, it's like having a modern arsenal. But anyway, the whole thing is that they went and met on this show. These two guys, the guy from Blink 182 and the other guy, they went to Italy and met with these guys over there. And it was like their country's government. And these guys were talking about attacks where they were using like heat rays and invisible rays and things like that to bring down a helicopter, which they did, and set all these fires and all these crazy things, which if that's the truth, then now we've got another thing. Is now we've got something that is not friendly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's very interesting. You know, and all this is coming up on the weekend of the big Area 51 fiasco. I mean, there's nothing else you can call that mess. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting to see all this kind of playing out because, and I almost kind of think the Area 51 thing also could have been part of the soft release. I know it was a joke on the internet. Well, yeah, you set it up as a joke on the internet. And then now all of a sudden...
But you got a joke on the internet combined with the dude from Blink 182.
Who
like,
makes,
that is going to be now our authority on aliens? Are you kidding? And yet, palatable.
Right.
You know, like, oh, the guy that did all the small things, he wouldn't lie to me. I can trust him. I had his album.
I don't know. The whole thing is crazy.
It is.
It's kooky.
I don't think it's crazy. To me, it's not crazy. I think it makes a lot of sense.
To do the slow roll?
Well, I mean, just all of it. The aliens and technology and that kind of stuff. But it could be that I'm really into it. I'm really deep into it. And, you know, but I get to the point, I don't know. Almost anything I read or I see, I kind of go, yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe that's part my problem. I believe all of it.
Well, you know, it was... And I know other people have phrased it this way, but I was reading a book and it hit me a number of years ago when they said something about, are we so selfish as to think that nothing else exists in this infinite
I've been saying those
galaxy.
Exact words forever.
Well, that was Michael Crichton who wrote it in, I think, Jurassic Park. But,
really?
Yeah, Michael Crichton was... If Michael Crichton had started a religion like L. Ron Hubbard, I would have followed it. like, really, a lot of my life's tenets come from Michael Crichton. But that was something that I'd read in one of his books, and I was like... First, I think I was in college, and I'm like, you just blew my mind! But yet, it really does... Like you said, it only makes sense. And so I think we also want to believe, like... We like the idea. We're explorers by nature.
I will also say this. You know, we assume that the aliens are going to be way ahead of us. They could be way behind us. That's the crazy thing is that we could be. I mean, here's the thing. We have the SETI Institute. Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence has been scanning the skies and the heavens for decades now. And they haven't been able to find radio proof of aliens as of yet. So it makes you think that.
They don't want to be found.
Either they don't want to be found or that they're not out there yet. I mean, you know, we always say, well, the universe is billions of years old. So even if they're 1,000 years ahead of us in tech, then, oh, my gosh, we're in trouble. They could be billions of years ahead or they could not. They could be in the Stone Age and we're the ones who are. I mean, we're assuming.
Oh, my gosh. I hope we're not the ones leading here. The universe is in trouble.
I mean, think about it. Even if they were just a century behind us in technology, that's a huge difference in 100 years.
Yeah,
that they're not going to have capabilities to even catch our sound waves that we project to them. So we may have to wait a little longer. Yeah. Although I really hope they do it quick.
Again, I will say
I want to open up the dating pool to aliens.
Who was it that said that we don't? Who was the guy in the wheelchair?
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking said, you know, here we are. We're throwing all this stuff out there going, here we are. And we don't know who they are.
Yeah.
You know,
we
could be food, you know. Yeah. So we're over here going, come see.
Come eat us.
Come visit.
It's like Mars Attacks. Welcome aliens, and then they just like blow us all up.
I remember that movie, and I was like, how many like huge stars are in this movie?
Yeah.
Like everybody was in it.
And it was possibly the worst movie I've ever seen.
Terrible.
Oh my dad loves that movie.
Really?
My dad has like a list of about 16 movies that he loves, and anytime they are on, he will put them on, and Mars Attacks is one of them. I think it was Starship Troopers is another.
I will say this.
Galaxy Quest.
I have not seen Mars Attacks since it was at the theater.
Yeah.
I also saw Starship Troopers at the theater, and I thought it was the worst movie I'd ever seen. I saw it one night in a hotel room. We were on the road somewhere, and I left it on. I'm like, you know what? I actually like this movie now. So maybe I need to go back
and
revisit.
You need to rewatch Mars Attacks, because since usually at Christmas is when I'm forced to have it on, it's not that bad. I like that much better than Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Which I've also never seen.
I've never seen all of it either.
I think it's my parents love it. And I like they watch it the night before Thanksgiving every year. And my brother and I are like, we're just gonna go out.
That's John Candy.
Yeah, and Steve Martin. Which you think would be amazing. I hate it. I think it's terrible, and I understand I'm in the minority because everybody loves that movie. I don't care for it.
I'm not. I'm going to be the guy to tell you. I don't really like John Candy movies. I didn't like Uncle Buck.
I didn't either.
I don't even remember Uncle. I'm like, you don't like John Candy, and then I go, well, I like The Great Outdoors, and I liked Spaceballs.
I didn't like Major Payne, which was Damon Wayans. Oh, and you told me about that one for the longest. Big D would be like, you gotta watch Major Payne. I'm like, so finally, he's like, this is the best movie ever. Watch it with your kids. So I got Frank to watch it with me. I'm like, if anybody's gonna love this, Frank is.
Perfect. The scene where he's lined them all up, dude, and they meet him for the first time.
It was terrible.
The big revelation is that D has seen any movie other than The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, or To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, although he did just watch John Wick 3 this week.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. But it was a little too much, a little overkill in the fight scenes. Like, it was like, I was kind of like, I
thought the fight scene with Halle Berry was great, and they're totally setting her up for a spinoff.
Yeah.
I'm watching that movie, and I'm going, nope, spinoff.
Have you seen it yet?
No.
Okay. Because I
was going to watch it with you, and then you cheated on me. Went and watched it with whoever, other guy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I probably watch it when it gets out.
Yeah. Okay.
Same way it was with John.
I will not watch it.
Yeah.
Stacey said it wasn't bad. There were a couple jump scares. That's her.
It was all jump scares. Yeah. It wasn't actually suspenseful scary. It was, I guess it is suspense in that you knew a jump scare was coming. That's it, because there's like 20 of them. I had read a spoiler before that let you know where all the jump scares were, so I could be prepared.
I hate the jump scare.
Whoever, yeah, I do too.
Who, and Big D loves, like, he'll send me videos all the time.
I make them. Do you know I make them?
Yeah.
I take things.
Did you send me one day, like a couple weeks ago? And the thing is, I just wasn't expecting it, and I did. I'm like, gosh, I'm like, ah!
They're great.
Dumbest thing ever.
It's easy to do. You take a video that of whatever, and you're sending it to one of your buds, and then you take a video of your face, and you kind of hold that thing down, and then you go, you bring it up to your face, and you go, rah, as loud as you can, and then you just stitch them together, and
you
send it away.
At one of our game nights, you were exploring the stage, and then you did a jump scare at the end of it.
That was the haunted place.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, we're going to inspect the haunted place. And then, like, I'm watching the video going, oh, I want to see what Dee did. And then you do a jump scare at the end.
Yeah, it's so great.
Is it great?
It is. And if someone did it to me, I'm appreciative. I was good. Yeah. That was a good one.
You got me.
Yeah, don't get mad. I'm like, yeah, good. So we had Bo Duke in, John Schneider. We're about to play his interview. He came in. Someone had mentioned that how well spoken he is on the interview.
Well spoken?
He is. And I was like, yeah, you're right. He's kind of got this. Well, yes. That I didn't even really think about, but he does. Yeah. He kind of has that.
I never thought about
that. I know. You can't think, but he doesn't talk like we do. Like, he's not like this guy. He's this guy right here.
He is kind of very over-enunciated.
Like kind of real careful of his words.
But he's not careful with his words.
He's careful with his diction?
Diction.
Careful with his diction, not his words.
And that is that's a good life lesson for all men.
What?
To be careful with your diction. And I'll show myself out.
Okay. Thank you, Big D. Goodbye.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the podcast.
And she said, this is what you get. And it's a good-sized lady. I said, okay.
Hey, John Schneider's in the studio.
What's going on?
What's going on with you, man?
Oh, my, so much. So much stuff.
How was it performing on the Grand Ole Opry for you?
It's great. It's always great.
You've done it a bunch.
I've done it a bunch of times. Yep. I love it out there at the Opryland. I also love doing it at the Ryman. Singing at the Ryman is such a special thing.
Is the Ryman the place? Is that your favorite, you think?
Well, you know, it's an amazing sounding room.
The Ryman, for those who don't know, was an old church.
Some other church, yeah. The mother, we were there last night for the hurricane relief.
And so it was that's one of those places where everyone kind of like says, oh my gosh, get to play in the Ryman. For a lot of people, it's just to be able to go to a concert at the Ryman or just tour the Ryman. It is a special place.
But for a performer, it just sounds, because you get there and you do a little sound check, and honestly, I think the Ryman sounds better when you don't have any electronics involved. You just stand on that stage and play a guitar.
I saw Tony Bennett.
And if you're
one
not
time,
somebody who you know who is attached to a tuner,
I was going
to
say I went one
then,
time and
you
saw
sound
Tony.
Good,
I saw Tony do a whole thing. He put the microphone down on the stage.
Oh, there's no point in using it.
Yeah, he just sang a cappella. This is an 80-something-year-old man singing a cappella.
Yeah,
and he filled the room. And I'm like, that's when you know you've got
it's
good
like a,
sound.
It's like a guitar or violin. It's old wood.
I'm this is a 1936.
Is that really? Guitar you have right there is a 36?
36.
Oh my gosh, what? And it's
gorgeous. Got it from Gruen in 81.
Wow. How much is that worth? Like old guitars
are... I don't know,
because
I don't
want
to get rolled in the parking lot.
We are in a very shady area.
How much is that?
Well, now that you're here, it is. Sorry. I'm sarcastic, I come by it naturally. It's a Martin. It's a 1936 0021. I bought from George Gruen in 1981 when he was down on Broadway. There were two reasons to go to Broadway back in 81. One is to buy a great guitar. The other is to get shot.
Yeah.
And, you know.
They've changed that.
Now you can't buy great guitars down there anymore.
Yeah, we should call Paisley and go, hey, listen, what if I told you that we're looking at right now a 19, blah, blah, whatever that is.
36.
Yeah. He would be like, yeah, what do you want for it?
Nothing. You can't have it.
You would never sell that.
No. Gosh, no. Johnny played this. Everybody's played this guitar.
Oh my
Willie
gosh.
Tried to talk me out of this guitar when we did Stagecoach years ago. So, no. The answer is no. No, Brad.
But Willie doesn't. No, Brad. Why? Because he uses the same guitar.
Well,
forever.
I think Trigger is the same. It's a 0021. I think. A she. Pardon
the same
me.
Model?
He. Yeah,
they
call that guitar an it.
I don't know what the guitar's pronouns are.
You can't call the General Lee an it, and you can't call Willie's guitar an it. Because, you know, he is a he. It wouldn't be right to call it a she.
So you're saying that guitar and Willie Nelson's guitar are from the same?
I think so, yeah, because Willie lit up like a Christmas tree, ta-da, when he saw this.
Yes.
And that was several holes ago in Trigger, because we did Stagecoach in 87.
Wow.
Yeah, so Willie's guitar has a lot of holes in it.
It does.
From where?
It's from where. It's a great guitar. It's a great guitar.
It's amazing that there's still, like, any guitar left.
Yeah, enough to resonate with it.
Yeah.
All right.
There's amazing that there's any Willie left.
Right. All right, John Schotter's with us. He's got a new song out, and we'll talk with him about that and all kinds of stuff coming up. Hang on. John Schotter, joining us in the studio.
Hey.
Hey, okay. So, man, before you came in, we were talking about the show, Dukes of Hazzard, and back in the day.
Yeah.
When they had, I can't remember if I've ever asked you this before, why were there two other guys that came in that were terrible?
They were in an impossible position. They came in because Tom and I did not go back. We did not walk off. We didn't show up. And there's a difference. When you walk off, you leave 300 people in a state of flux. When you say we're not going to come back until we straighten out this argument, I think that's fair.
It was a contract dispute?
It was an accounting dispute.
Okay.
Yeah, history wants to make it look like we wanted more than we were supposed to get. We just wanted what we were supposed to get.
Oh.
On the paper that they wrote that we signed.
Wow.
Yeah, so, we understand that.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine, yeah. Yeah,
so this was an accounting thing where you it was like a recouping kind of deal? Or?
It was. We were supposed to get a certain percentage of merchandising.
Oh, and merchandising was enormous.
Well, it was, and it was so huge, and they had no concept that it was going to be that. We were the most successfully merchandised television show in the history of television at that point. We still may be.
I was going to say, I think you still are.
Yeah, it's insane. If you go to Cooter's and check out the stuff that he's got there, the sheets and the big wheels and the games and the watch, mm-hmm. I mean, every conceivable
I had a
thing.
Little General Lee where you would pedal it. And you could just like cruise down the neighborhood with a little 01.
And it had the handbrake? It was a three-wheeler?
It was a car.
Oh, you
and
had
you
the just, little pedal
you,
car.
Yeah, and you little pedaled in it. And yeah, there's like pictures in my parents' house of us and our little 01 General.
So great. So great.
I bet they loved you in Connecticut.
It was universally adored.
Thank you. I'm from New York. I'm a recovering Yankee myself. I'm from New York State. So,
what's your thoughts on all that? Where the people paint their whole thing is because of the Confederate flag on the top.
Well, that they say it's revisionist history, number one. It's I do not like it when somebody tells me what I think because of what I look like or wear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't do that to them. I don't say, oh, well, obviously, because you're wearing that Nike hat, you're going to take a knee the next time somebody sings a national anthem.
Yeah.
No, that's not fair of me to say that. There are people who wear Nike hats. There are companies like Nike who cave under Kapper, what's his name's, ridiculous taking offense to something.
Right.
Not even knowing that Betsy Ross was somebody who was very instrumental in helping slaves escape.
Yes.
So he has a special kind of stupid.
Yeah. I like you.
Well, you know, thank you.
More often and say stuff just like that.
Well, so we just did a movie called Christmas Cars, and Christmas Cars is
cards or cars?
Cars, like brum, brum, like cars.
Okay, I thought this is what you said.
So I play a guy who was on a television show 40 years ago, and I'm just about to make my balloon payment by selling die-cast cars. And somebody who doesn't want me to make my balloon payment puts out a thing on the internet saying, boycott this man and his car because this is the universal sign of symbol of racism and intolerance.
What color is the car that you're
selling? It's the General Lee. It's Bose General Lee, but it's the General Lee. Because, you know, it's such an absurd notion that the Dukes of Hazzard, which was one of the greatest family shows, one of the most unifying shows, whether you're black, white, yellow, brown, green, it doesn't matter. Dukes of Hazzard is one of the favorite, most unifying television shows of all time. And someone who did just as little research as he did about Betsy Ross said that it's a racist show because of the flag on the car. Well, come on, give me an ever-loving break.
The odd thing is Dukes of Hazzard is still like having crazy success in reruns internationally.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, nobody talks about how it's huge everywhere else. Like, it's big in China.
Well, it's huge here, too. I mean, yes, it's big in China. When I do a live Facebook thing, I get people from all over the world. And they have great questions about Dukes of Hazzard. They remember Dukes of Hazzard was their view of what the United States was in 1982.
Yeah.
And so it's an absurdity. That's why we made this movie, because people are asking about, you know, what do you feel about that? So
where is that movie going to be available? And
only with us, only on John Schneider Studios. It comes out on what we call, just because I haven't aggravated enough people yet, we call it Orange Friday, which is the Friday after Thanksgiving. And if you remember Dukes of Hazzard, Waylon said in the very beginning, this is Bo and Luke Duke. They fight the system, any system that tries to pollute the well where they drink. And one of the first lines, Johnny Lee, the great Johnny Lee, who needs your prayers right now, by the way, he's just had his third operation, brain operation. One of his first lines of dialogue, because we shot the movie in Louisiana in June, and it's hot.
Right.
So we're sweating. And we weren't going to pretend we were cold because we would die.
Right.
So he says, it was the warmest Christmas. It was the hottest Christmas since the War of Northern Aggression. So, you know, we go there on every conceivable moment. When we have a boss hog like character whose name is Davis Jefferson.
Wow.
Who was named after the we say he's named after the former Secretary of War under President McKinley.
Wow.
Which is true.
You really got into this. You're like,
well, yeah.
It's like you've done like some research, and like it's
absolutely,
yeah,
yeah.
And that'll be out.
That'll be out on that. You can see the trailer right now. Please go watch it. We're independent. We are all in. I believe if you're not all in, you're out.
And where can we see the trailer?
You can see the trailer on my YouTube channel. It's just called John Schneider, and the movie is called Christmas Cars. And if you like the trailer, there's a little thing, a little link where you can pre-order your copy of it. It'll come autographed. We're going to mail them out on Monday that week. So sweet. Hopefully you'll have it by then. And then we also have a Cineflix DOD, Digital On Demand. On that Friday, you'll be able to buy it and download it as well. So we're doing everything that that Amazon does, but we're just doing it
without
one
Amazon.
Movie at a time.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, because I have a feeling that this time we're actually going to hit a home run. So I would hate to give away everything on the one time we hit the
exactly.
home run.
Exactly.
So we're going for it. And if we win, we win. If we lose, we'll do it again. You know, we save our pennies, have a lemonade stand, and we'll do it again because that's the American way.
Wouldn't it be cool if he actually had a lemonade stand?
John Schneider lemonade stand.
We do. We have a lemonade stand. There's tequila involved.
Hey, John Schneider's with us. We're going to come back and talk some music with John.
Yeah, I love music.
On the way next. Hang on. Hey, John Schneider's in the studio with us. Got a new song out. It's called Stoned on the One. You know, people, it's funny how that you, we all know you as an actor, but you're that guy that we all hate because you have.
Why, thanks.
Full, is that your real hair?
It is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, then we really hate you.
Full head of hair. He's thin. He's good looking. He's an actor. He's vibrant, and he plays music.
By the way, he had 4 number one hits on the Billboard Country Charts. So. Yeah.
So, you know, that guy.
What have you not done?
Yeah.
Like, what is something?
I have very small calves. We're talking calves. We're talking Mr. Calves over here.
I was getting coffee. He's like, well, now I know why I didn't get any calves, because Bubba got them all.
Yeah, he got all of them.
Your knees don't knock together because your calves are in the way.
They actually are.
Have boots made, or do you just cut the tops off of all of them?
Back to music.
Okay, no. Wait, Bubba is a firefighter, and
I know,
they couldn't put him in the regular. They had to special order boots just so that they could make firefighter boots for his giant superhuman calves.
Well, I know the listeners know what I'm talking about because his calves are so big you can see them on the radio.
John's daughter, by the way, is a firefighter.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yeah. Out in Oxnard.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, so she's out there with the crazy wind and all that stuff.
Oh, man, that's awesome. What do you want to do, man? We're kind of doing a little picking and grinning.
Do a little bit of Stoned on the One.
Here we go. Here's John Schneider.
I drank a river till it was dry as a bone. Got buzzed on the fever from a sad country song. Our crooked little love boat has gone and set sail. You ran off with the devil. Tell me, why am I the one living in hell? I've been as high as a New York skyline since you ripped up, tore down, hauled off my state of mind. We walked on the moon. Girl, we danced on the sun. We had it all till you dropped the ball. Now I'm stoned on the one. So I doused your picture in your pretty perfume. Turned them to ashes, swept them up with a broom. Thought it'd make me feel better, take some time from the pain. But I'm still drinking your memory, driving myself insane. I've been as high as a New York skyline since you ripped up, tore down, hauled off my state of mind. We walked on the moon. Girl, we danced on the sun. Girl, we had it all till you dropped the ball.
Now I'm stoned on the one. Girl, you dropped the ball when you changed the call. Now I'm stoned on the one.
Nice. Dude, that was awesome. And you made your phone talk. Did you not hear it?
I was too worried about the high notes. It's like, oh my God, it's morning.
When you said something, your phone sort of triggered Siri or something.
Sorry, I missed that. Could you say it again, please?
I'm like, he's singing and it's awesome, and we're all deep in all this thing, and I hear Siri in the background. I'm going, what?
I'm glad Bubba knew what that was. I was like, what's happening?
What is that?
We all panicked and looked at our phones. Is it me?
Oh gosh, that's one of those songs comes around once in a lifetime.
I like it.
That is such a great. That's a Waylon song.
And you killed
song.
The performance.
Waylon would have loved it. Thank you. I was playing it, thinking, "Oh my God, why didn't I tune my guitar down?" But you know, it makes you reach for it.
Yeah.
You know, and
when there is no plan B, you have to succeed.
You know, I don't believe in plan B anyway.
Yeah,
I think plan B says to plan A, "I don't trust you."
Yep.
So. The heck with plan B.
So we can get that
You can get that right now. Anywhere. You can get that anywhere you can get music, you can get that. It's on the Redneck Rebel album.
Did you release 8 albums last year?
It's kind of insane. We did.
Wait,
just,
what?
Just didn't have anything else
trying to catch up.
I thought it was 5, and I thought that was crazy.
No, we did 5, and then we did the greatest hits still, so we redid... Hush, don't talk now. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But we did we redid all 10 of the greatest hit songs from the MCA days, and we did a Christmas album.
Nice.
Wow.
So, and then now this year, we've done the gospel album, which is amazing. Larry Hall produced that, and he plays keyboards with Ronnie Millsap, has for years, so he's an arranger, so he hears different chords. He hears more than 3 chords. And so we did, one thing we did was... Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
So to the house of the rising sun.
Nice.
With 5 singers.
Oh, I bet that's beautiful.
Oh, it's so amazing. It's called House of Amazing Grace. So that record came out, that album, or whatever you call them now, came out on the 15th, and Redneck Rebel came out the week before that. We're just... my lovely wife over there, sitting over there. Hi. And now we can actually get married officially now. Because as you know, maybe you don't know, but I was going through a divorce that lasted considerably longer than the Civil War.
That was like a 5-year divorce?
It would be 5 years in November, so just shy of 5 years. And we decided, wow. We could die at any moment, so the hell with California, we're just going to go ahead and get a pastor friend to marry us in the eyes of God. So we did, while the divorce was still going on, because I think that God's okay with that. And now
that's
that the divorce
was done
is
back
over,
in the day anyway.
Well, yeah. And so now that the divorce is over, Louisiana took jurisdiction of the divorce. I've lived in Louisiana since 2012. So the judge said, enough of this. You know, this is ridiculous. And protected one of its citizens, which is me, and granted me a divorce on September 11th. So now the divorce is final. And
congratulations.
So she is the one who, after we lost everything, and we had 2 floods in 2016, and this guitar was about all that was left. And I was sitting in our destroyed living room playing the guitar. And she came in to talk to me about something, and I put the guitar down. And she said, why do you do that? And I said, you know, playing the guitar has always just made me feel better when I'm not feeling so great. She said, no, I didn't ask you why you picked it up. I asked you why you put it down. And since then, because of her, she has inspired us to do over 100 songs. And one of them, we did the House of Amazing Grace and Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down on the gospel album. We went to Walker Penitentiary, which is a faith-based penitentiary in Georgia. And we recorded the inmates singing on several of the gospel songs.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, and we asked them to name themselves. And after about 5 minutes, somebody came up and he said, we'd like for you to call us the Voices of Change. So when you hear that, you can't hear that yet, but when you can, because we're still mixing it, when you hear that, it will change your life. It will absolutely change your life. Hmm. Knowing where those men are and what they have been through at their own hand and what they are doing with it. It's amazing.
You're busier now than you've ever been.
I am.
You've got so much going on.
I am. We pass the Energizer Buddy and Bunny about 10 times a day. Go, dude, come on.
Dude, it was so good. It's good to see you again. Thanks for dropping by.
Good seeing you, too. Please watch Christmas Cars. Watch the trailer. Everybody who's listening, watch the trailer. Subscribe to my YouTube page.
Yep.
And Christmas Cars, if you love Dukes of Hazzard, you're going to love this. And like I said, I think this is our home run.
And you can check it out. It's on his YouTube page. Just look up John Schneider on YouTube, and you'll find it right there. Thank you, brothers. Good to see you.
Thank you, everybody. Great seeing you.